Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Hey, I'm a Catholic deer hunter. I am happy to be clinging to my guns and my religion.
Pro-life Democrats, you're out there. You need to go get active in your party, and really, we need to change from the ground up.
Mary is the Mother of God in December, in Advent, and Christmas. She is also the Mother of God on Epiphany, and she's the Mother of God in February. She's the Mother of God in August, too.
Preach that cross, the scandal of the cross, trusting this is the source of our salvation. And when we do, if the church gets smaller, so be it. But in the end, that is what really, truly builds the church.
Didgeridoo players in Iowa, love issues, etc.
Jesus makes a promise that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it's the story of the book of Acts as the church first gets up off its feet and it starts to wander off into all nations. It says the word of the Lord grows. There is definitely growth here. The kingdom of God is likened to a plant that grows or a building that is built, stone one stone upon another, growing ever higher. Now, some have taken those metaphors, those truths of Scripture, and said, look, if that's true, then we ought to be able to track dollar for dollar, person for person, soul for soul, the growth of the kingdom of God. We should be able to chart it, we should be able to graph it, and we should be able to determine what works, what doesn't work, and what measures the success of the church. Now, is that true? We're going to be talking about measuring the success of the church. Pastor Anthony Voltatorne joins us for the first half of this second hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Pastor Anthony Voltatorne, we'll be talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse about Paul Ryan on women's issues, and then Jay Watts of the Life Training Institute will be our guest to talk about abortion in the cases of rape, incest, and the life of the mother, the big three exceptions. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Pastor Anthony Voltatorne is a regular guest. He's pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Standish, Michigan, and he's author of a recent article titled The Plague of Measuring the Church. Anthony, welcome back.
Thanks to be on.
Now, why do you call it a plague of measuring the church? That's pretty strong language.
Yeah, it is. It's strong language because I think this sin, the sin of pride, is so contagious, like a plague. You know, it's we sinful human beings want prestige and we want to be honored, and we can easily find that in the church sometimes with certain things. You know, the history of the church, we like to boast about a church's events or activities, or the pastor, the attendance, or whatnot. You know, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 1, he says, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Galatians 6:14, he says, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we tend, oftentimes, it's so easy to slip into boasting about some of the externals. You know, they're necessary parts of the life of a Christian, but they are not the cause of our Christian life. And so, you know, there's a great danger, I think, when we make those things that, well, we could be proud about, we could be happy that you know, a church has wonderful architecture or a really great pastor, or you know, we really like the fact that there's lots of families there. You know, we could be really happy about those things. But when they become the center focus, you know, there's a great danger in the life of the church when that happens.
Does it make it any better when we qualify that, I mean, to call it what it is, that boasting with, well, you know, God has grown this church, or look what God has done here. He's given us all these programs. Obviously, although often unstated, measures of our success and the blessing that God is showering down on us because we're doing such a good job.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it does, because sometimes, I mean, let's face it, that might not be God. That might just be me. You know, yes, God works through us human means, but where is the place where we know God is working? You know, what has He given us to do to be a successful church? You know, that's in word and sacrament, and I think a lot of this comes down to how are we really understanding the success of a church? Because so often we fall into this temptation, you know, desiring to be impressive and to place our stamp of approval and say that's a successful church, but we just can't do that. The events, the activities, the number of butts in the pew, those are not measuring sticks for the health of the church. It's the Holy Spirit. He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies. And so what makes us, you know, what makes us the church is not our potlucks or our volunteerism there. It's Christ. It's His death. It's His resurrection, and it's delivered in word and sacrament.
Well, I wonder, is the converse true? I can think about the example of mainline Protestant denominations that have for the last 40 years just been dwindling and dwindling, and then in an attempt to be more culturally relevant have strayed farther from God's word, have become less faithful, and have dwindled even more. I mean, it has become epidemic proportions. It's not just a leaking ship. It is now a sinking ship. And we often do. I mean, you've done it, I've done it, where we said, look at those mainline Protestant denominations. They abandon God's word, and they're losing members. How do we sort that out? If we don't want to say that gaining members is a sign of God's blessing, favor, or success, or faithfulness, can we credibly make the case that the congregation's losing members, the church body's losing members, are doing so because they're abandoning God's word?
No, not at all. I don't even have it with me, but Bonhoeffer has this wonderful quote where he talks about sometimes the Holy Spirit is working to grow the church when visibly it seems to be shrinking. We simply don't have any measurement on the success of a church, whether it's growing or shrinking, except by what God has given us. So I think our confessions do a wonderful job stating this. In Article 7 of the Augsburg Confession, it says, "The church is the congregation of saints, in which the gospel is purely taught and the sacraments are correctly administered. For the true unity of the church, it is enough to agree about the doctrine of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments." It's worded beautifully there. We so often downplay this as if it's something unimportant to have word and sacrament in the church, as if receiving this gospel is sort of just something we do here. No, it is who we are, and it's what makes us the church, and it's the only thing that able to show whether we are having the successful ministry of Christ in all its glory here or not.
So it sounds like you're saying we really need to dispense on both sides with all superstition. I mean, superstition is essentially seeing something happen and then trying to make, you know, connect point the two points and saying, well, this caused that. So a church grows, and our superstitious reaction is, we must have been doing something right. Let's keep doing that.
Absolutely.
And a church shrinks, and we say, well, we must have been doing something wrong. Let's stop doing that. You say, away with all superstition, period.
Yep. And yeah, I think you said it with a sinking ship, but I, you know, another analogy, what tends to happen when numbers go down is that, we've already misunderstood what it means to be the church when we focus and spend all of our time and resources on the events and activities and all of those externals. But then when our numbers are declining and we don't for whatever reason have the numbers we want, we tend to think that we're doing something wrong, and Well, maybe we are, but most of the time that's not the case. And yet, if we think we're doing something wrong, it's like someone who thinks they're drowning in 2 feet of water, and we frantically try to grab onto anything that we will get people to come in the door, and we don't even really care anything much other than that. When what we need to do is stand up, stand on the sure footing that has always been there, God's word and His sacrament. Otherwise, it tends to just look like we're using business principles to build and grow the church.
But you know as well as I do that an entire industry inside the church and around the church, parachurch, has, and it's really an industry, we're talking money-making industry inside and outside the church, thrives on the idea that the church is essentially a business that can have predictable numerical success if you just follow the right steps or adopt the right model. How do you respond with about a minute here?
Well, that's why I include this quote from Zaza, Herman Zaza, because he holds that the essence of the church is really not defined like that. It's not defined anthropologically or sociologically. And what he says is the church is not constituted by any human qualities, not our faith or the holiness of our lives, nor by any sociological state of affairs, a particular form of structuring the relationship of congregation and office of the ministry. The church is constituted only by the real presence of Jesus Christ the Lord, who in his gospel and in the sacraments is really and personally present. Through these, he builds his congregation on earth. Everything else, our faith, our love, the external appearance of the congregation, its worship, its caring associations, its configuration as a legal organization, is a consequence of this church constituting presence of Christ.
We'll come back with Pastor Anthony Voltatorne, talk more about measuring success in the church on this Tuesday afternoon, August 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Well, Justin has completed his summer work at Sylvan Learning Center in Edwardsville. His reading comprehension has improved more than 3 grade levels, and his vocabulary has increased almost an entire grade level. Sylvan Learning Center of Edwardsville has a 6-week back-to-school boot camp. Their phone number, 618-656-0500, 618-656-0500. Emily has 4 weeks left at Sylvan. A report on her progress next time.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What are the sources and origins of writings like the Book of Mormon, the Quran, and the Gospel of Thomas, and how do they compare to the Bible? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is One Word, Many Writings, a study of the origins of religious writings. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can find out more about One Word, Many Writings by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. One Word, Many Writings by Dr. Adam Francisco.
If you find yourself near the heart of Angelina County, Texas, then God wants you to visit the First Lutheran Church of Lufkin. We are gathered by the Holy Spirit to hear God's word of forgiveness in Christ, crucified for sinners, each Sunday morning beginning at 10:15. Further details and contact information can be found at our website, fll.ctsmemberconnect.net, fll.ctsmemberconnect.net.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Anthony Voltatorne is our guest. We're talking about measuring success in the church. Anthony, We talked about the two scenarios before. That is, a church grows bigger, it must be therefore doing something right in God's eyes. A church grows smaller, it must thereby be doing something wrong in God's eyes. Is another element true? Someone says, well, the church is shrinking, but that's because we're being faithful. That's because we're taking a stand. That's because we're siding with God's word. And it may be getting smaller, but it's getting smaller because we're being more faithful. Does that work either?
Well, that could be the case, right? I mean, we know that has happened throughout history. You kind of have a little bit of that, but you can't look to that as sort of the litmus test of your faithfulness as to whether you're losing members or not. I mean, that's just kind of ridiculous. Otherwise, boy, there are plenty of churches who are losing members and yet are not faithful, and that's just not a good measurement either.
So this comes down to something you have pointed out several times here. This is not about these outward measures, although they may go up, they may go down. This is about what the church is, and is a congregation being and practicing what Christ created when he created the church.
Absolutely, absolutely. So there's there must be a correct distinction between what is the cause of us being the church and what is the result. And so, you know, the result, at least the specific manifestation of the result, is expendable. In meaning, a potluck, for example, is a result of the fact, or at least hopefully it is, a result of the fact that we are Christians and we want to gather together, whether it be after church on Sunday or some other time. We want to gather together in Christian fellowship, supporting each other emotionally, you know, feeding our bellies together. That's great, but that's not who we are as church. That's not what makes us the church. And so while we need to be doing those things, I say they're expendable in their specific manifestation. Whereas the specific manifestation of receiving the gospel and word and sacrament is not expendable. That is the very life of the church. And it simply cannot be considered just one of the things we do here at, you know, St. So-and-so Lutheran Church.
What do you say to someone, and I've actually heard fellow Lutheran pastor say this to me, it hasn't happened often, but it has happened. Look, if simply preaching law and gospel and administering the sacraments still worked, all of our churches would have lines around the street to get in on Sunday morning. Obviously, we need to find something else. True story. How would you respond?
Well, I think you could just go to Scripture. I mean, this past Sunday for the 3-year lectionary, we had John 6:51-69, and that's a wonderful text for that, because Jesus here is preaching, doing what he came to do. Scripture says, you know, he goes on from town to town, not to do miracles, but to preach the gospel. And the repentance and the forgiveness of sins, he tells this huge crowd of 5,000 people that he just fed the day before with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he tells them to eat his flesh and drink his blood, that nobody has life except through him. And they all turn away. they leave. And he's got 12 guys left, and even one of them will betray him. And his response is not, oh no, it didn't work. I need to try something new. I need to get them back somehow. They're not lining up. No, but his response to seeing the 5,000 leave is he turns to his 12 disciples and he says, do you want to go away as well? So, I wrote in the post, word and sacrament are what makes us church to such an extent that where you have the gospel of Christ preached in its fullness and the body and blood of Jesus delivered to the saints, there you have successful ministry. It's just a completely different understanding to what most of the evangelical churches in America believe.
What if we find something that claims to be a church? It's got, you know, maybe even still has a big cross hanging outside the building someplace. It says church on the signboard, but for all intents and purposes, while you know they still profess on their websites frequently asked questions to believe the gospel, what really goes on there on Sunday morning isn't the Word of God. If it is something resembling the Word of God, it's kind of that therapeutic moralistic deism. Mm. And the sacraments are gone for all intents and purposes. And if they're there, they're denied. Christ's institution of them is on a regular basis denied. What do you got there? And they're full. And they've got, and they're building more buildings. And they've got satellite congregations.
Yes, it's true. I think Joel Osteen's gathering—I'll call it a gathering—is the perfect example. So they have the largest church in America, so-called church, and yet they never celebrate the sacrament. They never do any baptisms. According to our biblical understanding of what a church is, that is not a church. They preach. Maybe the gospel gets in there every once in a while, but kind of doubt it. And they don't do the sacraments, so they're simply not the church. So they're a really great motivational, I don't know, speech gathering. but that's about it. And it's really not there for the for redeeming sinners.
That flies in the face of every shred of conventional wisdom there is in the church today. You're aware of that.
Yeah, it does. It does. But I think it's an important distinction to make, because when we confuse what we do as Christians and the result of being a Christian with the cause, then we are misunderstanding the very gospel itself. So it's not that we should be insensitive to those who want to, you know, help the community and do acts of service. You know, it's not that we want to even get rid of those. Those are great, but it's not what we are primarily here to do as the church. We should boast in the church. We should boast, but not because the people are nice or the pastor is funny or it's inspirational or because the church has great facilities or activities for kids. Boast in your church simply because Christ is there, because you receive the forgiveness of sins there in the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacrament. When do we hear that? When do we hear it at a meeting or a conference, someone stand up and praise that seemingly small, insignificant church out in the middle of nowhere because they preach the gospel and distribute Christ's body and blood every week to wretched sinners? I mean, that's who we are. Let's not misunderstand that for everything else that goes on, which are wonderful, but they are external.
And if it is through that word and sacrament alone that God chooses at some time or some place to grow the church numerically, monetarily, to exponentially, as sometimes it does, should we question that? As long as what we find there is God's pure word and sacrament, should we say, golly, they're growing awful fast. They must be doing something shifty in there.
No. You see in the book of Acts that the church is growing exponentially there. We have 3,000 added in one day or whatever. But the we just need to take our finger off of the pulse of trying to measure the church. You know, we need to stop placing upon the church our own human understanding of growth and success, and instead remain faithful in what we're given to do as the church. And if we, you know, just place our time and our effort into really working on hearing the gospel, celebrating that, boasting that, and just let the pieces fall where they will. It's not that we're advocating being insensitive to people who leave the church. We don't want people to leave the church. You know, don't hear me saying that. But it's not as if we are doing whatever we can, adding whatever glitz and glamour that we can in order to get people to stay either. We remain faithful and leave the rest up to God. It instead of putting these adjectives onto the church, so saying that this church is friendly or exciting or serving or a dying church even, you know, we go one way or the other. We say a church is not too churchy, or it's even a coffee house church, which is an entirely different matter. But all of those force man back into the definition of what it means to be church and into what the success of the church is. And instead, all of those kind of ways of thinking about Christ's church really deny it its unity and its holiness and its Catholicity found only in Christ.
Pastor Anthony Veltotorny is pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Standish, Michigan. He's authored a recent article titled The Plague of Measuring the Church. You can read this article under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Anthony, thank you for your time.
Thanks, my pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to spend the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon with Jay Watts of Life Training Institute. The subject is in the air. It needs to be dealt with in some more detail. There is commonly an exception, a threefold exception of abortion, even among ardent pro-lifers, for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. Should there be? Jay Watts will answer that question right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York; Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama; Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California; St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan; Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado; Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri; The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California; St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin; and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Mammogram Lie.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Planned Parenthood is under attack. State after state is defunding the abortion provider. It's also suffering from a string of scandals stemming from clinic workers protecting rapists and sanctioning gender selection abortions. The defenders of Planned Parenthood are growing desperate. Desperate enough to propagate falsehoods. The main one is that Planned Parenthood provides mammograms. Political commentators, actresses, even journalists make this claim in an effort to show that Planned Parenthood helps women and deserves public funding. But that's false. Don't buy the lie. Planned Parenthood clinics do not provide mammograms.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.